Amen. All right, so Matthew, if you could turn to Matthew chapter 8. So if you're visiting with us, we're going through the book of Matthew. And this morning we're going to look at verses 23 through 34. And so let's pray first. Father, we love you. We thank you. As always, thank you that we live in America. Lord, thank you for all of our veterans and the people and families that support veterans. And as Gary said, Lord, we don't ever want to take those things for granted, that we are here today because of your grace and your calling on this country, and also from the blood and the sweat and the tears from veterans and their families who have sacrificed from the beginning of our country. Lord, we don't ever want that to just fly over and be another day. Thank you for the flags. Thank you for the patriotic songs. Lord, we again join together and pray for our military around the world, keeping us free in dangerous places. Thank you for our foreign missionaries spreading the good news around North America and around the world. Lord, I pray you help me this morning teach this in Jesus' name. Amen. And also remember the people that's on the back of our prayer, what is it called? Bulletin. The back of our bulletin, their prayer needs from sickness to all kinds of different needs. So let's please remember them in your prayer time. Amen. Are you excited? Are you enjoying the weather? No? Yes? Yes? Okay. Right on. So let's look at verse 23 in chapter 8, and let's read it. I'm going to read it off the screen because I left my Bible sitting on the perch pew over there. So, is that all right? At least I know where it's at. So anyway, that's okay. So then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. Everybody said amen? Amen. So, we've been going through the book of Matthew. Thank you for your patience, but I've really enjoyed studying this. And we're just going to keep going. If you've missed some services, please check it out online and listen to it. I'd love for you guys to be able to stay up to date on where we're going through Matthew. But so far, Jesus has revealed his power over disease. And we talked about that last week. Okay, now we're in this section, and Jesus is revealing to us the power that he has over nature and over evil. So that's where we find ourselves today. To know how to grow spiritually, which is the last month probably, is about growing in the Lord. It's all been about growing spiritually and following Jesus. So to really understand this, we have to accept and understand the power of Jesus. We're talking about the wonder-working power. That wonder-working power, it lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit, who created everything, lives on the inside of us. It reminds me of that scripture that says, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." I'm just pausing here, not trying to insult your intelligence here, but I want you to understand that. Greater is he that is inside of me, right? The wonder-working power of Jesus Christ who lives inside of you, if you're born again Christian, is greater than he that is in the world. So there's two actions. If you're taking notes, there's two things that we want to talk about this morning about growing spiritually. And here's the first one, if you're taking notes. The first one. Anticipate the storms of life. Anticipate the storms of life. So Jesus, after these amazing healing miracles that we talked about last week, and then we talked about the cost of following him, right? He decides now, and it's what it looks like to me, to give the disciples a little test. Okay? In verse 23, it says, "Jesus and the 12 get out of the boat and start across the Sea of Galilee." Now, the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide at its widest point. And then it's real famous for storms to just come out of nowhere. I talked about this, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. Storms just come over the mountain and bam, hit that lake. And storms just come out of nowhere real quick. And it's been known that those waves can get up to 10 feet high in this lake, the Sea of Galilee, basically. And Jesus is now going to demonstrate his power. Everybody say power. His power over nature. So as we read in verse 24 and 25, it says, "Suddenly a ferocious, a vicious storm comes up on the lake and it sweeps up over the boat. And Jesus was snoring." Probably didn't have no sinus issues back then, all that salt, right? But Jesus was asleep. And what do the disciples do? They run and wake him up. Jesus, wake up. We're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus says to him, "What? You of little faith." Everybody say it with me. "Why are you afraid?" Why are you afraid? You know, Jesus gets up, rebukes the winds and the waves. It calms down. The same reason that we get afraid sometimes. The disciples were afraid because they still do not really understand who Jesus is. Either they did or they forgot. For me, I know there's times, many, 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 many times in my life where I'll just kind of forget. I'll get worried. I'll get bent out of shape about something. I'll get afraid about something once in a while. And it's like I just kind of forget who Jesus really is. Now, I know he's my Savior, born again, he died on the cross. I understand all that. But I'm saying practically. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You start getting bent out of shape, worried about something. And you know, and all this time, you know, it's really just kind of, I have to shake myself. Come on. Jesus created everything. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everything. Everything. Don't let that go over your head, right? It's everything. Stars, the universe, the galaxy, all this stuff. Every small little doodle bug. Right? And you got a country know what a doodle bug is? No? Exactly. They were afraid. And the scriptures tells us, look, it says in verse 27, it says, they ask each other, what kind of man is Jesus? The winds and the seas obey him. They're like, whoa. I mean, they just watched him, you know, completely cure man of leprosy. And then they're just like, what in the world? Right? Well, here's the big picture of this thing. You see, unexpected storms will happen in our lives. Right, guys? I mean, we never know, really, from 24 hours to 24 hours. We really never know. You see, one doctor's examination can bring a storm in your life. Right? One phone call from a relative or a friend can bring a terrible storm into your life. I like the disciples who were afraid. Maybe some of us are afraid in this room. Maybe you're already in a storm. Gary mentioned some prayer requests. Maybe you're in a storm right now. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe it's a relationship storm. Maybe it's a career storm. Maybe it's a sickness storm. A wise man once said that acceptance is the answer to all my problems. That goes deep. I could teach a whole class on that one. Okay? Please understand this, fellas. Ladies, gentlemen, nowhere in the Bible are believers promised a storm-free life. It's just the way it is, isn't it? You can get saved and born again and love Jesus and still get some really bad news. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. It seems like it's not fair. Sometimes I feel like it's not fair. But like I always tell my clients, life's not fair. If you want fair, it comes around twice a year in Perry, Georgia, in your local county. I mean, it's the deal, right? I mean, it's real life. But when storms do come up, we have Scripture. We have God Almighty who created everything. It reminds me of Romans 12:12. It says, be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. In other words, let your joy come from that hope that Jesus really does have our back. Jesus really is riding in our boat. He's guiding our boat, right? We're not a co-captain of our boat, co-pilot. No, you're not. You ain't nothing. You just ride along in the boat, and Jesus has got the whole thing in his hand. Amen? Be patient in affliction. In other words, when you're going through things, be as patient as you can with God, because he's going to work it out. He has a plan. The plan may be that someone I love may die and go to heaven. But guess what? When they go to heaven, they are healed completely then, right? Really? Be faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. In other words, continually to be talking to God and sharing with him your feelings. Share with the Lord what you're thinking. Don't worry about saying it wrong. Don't worry about speaking King James. Nothing wrong with King James Bible. I love it. I study it too. But you don't have to sound like Deacon Jones when you pray, right? You know what I mean? Oh, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. You know, I can hoop if I want to. My black brothers talk about that all the time. My friends, preachers, they love to hoop. You know what I'm talking about? I think I talked about that before, but anyway. You don't have to just get alone and talk to the Lord. Tell Him how you feel, what's going on in your life. He longs for us to talk to Him. Remember this, it's not just a song. We have victory in Jesus. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? One very important lesson from these scriptures we just read is this. Learning and accepting that being a Christian doesn't mean storms will not come into our lives. They will. You can count on it. Someone sounds pessimistic, right, or negative, but this is real. They will come, but when they do, you've also got to count on Jesus will be right there with you. He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us. Amen, guys? Disciples don't know, this is how I think about it, that Jesus has given them a test. And this particular test is part of their day-to-day curriculum. Sometimes I think, man, I really would have liked to have been there. But I don't think I'd have made it, probably. You know? Walking with them, going about it. It's an opportunity for them to apply what Jesus has been teaching them. And this is something I learned years ago, and I want to encourage you to adopt this in your life. The guy that taught this to me, his name was Jim Screws, Waycross, Georgia. Long hair, hippie guy, loved Jesus. He was awesome. Had tattoos all over him. He loved Jesus more than most people I've ever met in my life. You hear me? He passed away of cancer, bless his heart. But he taught me this one time, a long time ago. I was working at St. Isla in Waycross, drug alcohol rehab detox center. Something was going on in our life, and he said, Dallas, he said, praise the Lord. I was like, it was a bad, negative thing, right? It wasn't really bad, but it was kind of a negative thing. He was like, praise the Lord. I said, why do you say that, Jim? He said, man, this is an opportunity for spiritual growth. What? He said, this is an opportunity for spiritual growth. I wanted to hit him, really, and I wanted to punch him right in the nose. But he was right, man, as I really thought about it and prayed about it. And ever since then, right, honey? I taught my boys. I didn't like it sometimes, but when things come up in our life, just force yourself. Everybody say, force myself. Just force yourself to go, you know what? This is an opportunity for spiritual growth. Even something silly like, you know, walk outside and my tire's flat on a truck or the car. Gah! You get all frustrated and mad. At least I used to or still do. I said, well, this is an opportunity for spiritual growth, right? I'll even say it sometimes, just being a little passive-aggressive, but it works, you know. It works for me. One purpose of life's storms is for us to be able to apply our faith in what we're learning at church, Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible studies, fellowship, our own personal Bible study. These storms sometimes is an opportunity for us to apply what we're learning. You see, they say that knowledge is power. Well, I disagree with that. And the word power, if you look in the dictionary, it means the ability to make something happen, to get something done. That's what power really means. Knowledge is really not power. Applied knowledge, that's real power. That's what power really is, right? So if you learn something, you gain information, knowledge, and then you put it into practice. You use it. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. All right, so let's look at this. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same heart because they are mutually exclusive. Think about that now. As someone said, I didn't come up with this, it's a saying a long time ago. Fear knocked at the door of my heart, and when I sent faith to open the door, no one was there. It was cute, isn't it? But really, that's so true. You think about that one now. As a Christian, instead of being afraid, we can pray many scriptures over our life. And here's two. Psalms 118:6. Psalms 118:6. Listen to this scripture, how beautiful it is. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Think about that scripture. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. It kind of goes back to the scriptures too. If God is for me, then who could be against me? Back to the scripture we just talked about. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Not greater is me because I'm awesome and I'm cool and, you know, I've been studying the Bible for 400 years. No, pride comes before the fall, right? But greater is He. He, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, right? That's in me. The second one is 2 Timothy 1:7. We've all heard this before. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Amen? All right, so to grow spiritually, the first point is anticipate the storms of life. Point two. Oh boy. Y'all hang on with me, okay? I know it's 12 o'clock. I'm not going to worry about that, right? Can you get up and stretch? Anybody need to get up and stretch? No? Here's point two. I'll stop playing. Ask Jesus to remove any evil influences away from you. Number two, ask Jesus to remove any evil influences away from you. Now, after calming the storm, Jesus and his disciples went on the east side of Galilee, which is actually the Gentile side. Okay? It's the Gentile side. Verses 28 tells us is when he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were violent and people couldn't pass and they gave everybody a hard time who lived in that area. Okay? Again, they were in this region called Gadarenes. And the Gadarenes is a resident of Gadara, which is one of the cities of Decapolis, and about 6 miles southeast of the Sea of Galilee. Aren't you glad you got that information now? Everybody's like, who cares? But I like geography, so I kind of get into that sometimes. You have to forgive me. Jesus has already demonstrated his awesome power. He's healing the sick. He's all these healing miracles. And now he's showing he has power over nature. And now Jesus is about to show them that he has power over demons and evil people and wickedness. Okay? Now he gets out of the boat, two demon-possessed men come out of the tombs, which is really burial caves. That's what they came out of. They had these burial caves. I know some of you are thinking about, oh, the graveyard, you know, spooky thing. But now they had them buried in these caves. Okay. Now, if you study this, Mark and Luke only talks about one man. And what theologians tell us is that what they're doing here is really talking about the most outstanding man, you know, the one that was the big talker and that kind of thing. But the demon-possessed men are so violent, they call them unclean, these unclean demon-possessed men. Now, I'm going to get a little personal here. So again, we talked about, I'm going to preach the scripture, okay? Just preach right through the scripture. We're all going to learn and grow. They refer to these demon-possessed men as unclean. If you look up that word in the Greek, unclean, it means foul. It means morally lustful. Most time they run around naked. Okay? This unclean, filthy element is always part of demonized and wicked people, even today. Okay? The astronomical, and I'm not exaggerating, most of you keep up with this kind of information, know that I'm telling the truth here. the astronomical spread of profanity, pornography, sex trafficking, and violence in our culture is a clear sign of demonic activity. In my opinion, I try not to share very often because I might mess you up or get something wrong, but in my opinion, I believe this is a sign of the very end times. If you study eschatology, you'll know all that crazy mess gets even worse. And I do believe that God is really about to, I don't know when, but about to expose a lot of rich, famous people, powerful people that's caught up in this wicked, evil sex trafficking and abusing children stuff. And y'all know what I mean? You can't watch the news. I really do believe that God is about to expose a lot of people. You're going to be blown away by who's caught up in all this wickedness and evil demonic activity. And I'm going to call it like it is. Amen? The fastest growing addiction, and I know about this, is what I do. The fastest growing addiction among men and young boys in America is pornography on the internet. There's no place, I believe, that Satan and his demons are prowling around more than the internet. The statistics are staggering. Bear with me here. Every second, everybody say second. Every second of the day, more than 28,000 people are viewing pornography on the internet. Second. Worldwide pornography revenues are more than $100 billion. There are more than 4 million pornographic websites out there. According to the Family Safe Media, the average age of a boy's first exposure to pornography is 11. And men, we're not talking about Playboy magazines, right? Not to minimize that. Can I talk this clearly? Y'all know. I'm talking about serious, evil, wicked stuff at 11 years old. As an addiction counselor, I've did family interventions and stuff for children that were 12, 13, 14, completely addicted. This is demonic. There's an all-out war against boys and young men. Pray for our children, the boys and the girls, from the sex trafficking to the pornography, even to the taking the masculinity away from boys. When is Disney ever going to have an animated hero that's a boy again? Anybody notice that? I'm glad girls and ladies are rising up and doing things, but it's always like the little boy is this dumbfounded little character and the hero is a girl or a woman. Now, ladies, please don't think I'm being sexist by that at all. My wife served 8 years in the United States Navy. Think it's awesome. She was on the first crew of women that were allowed on a U.S. Navy aircraft carrier. She was on that very first crew. So she's Hua. And I'm excited about that. But there's a war for our children. It's going to get worse. Please pray for your children and your grandchildren. Amen? Psalms 101:3. Write this down. I'm going to wait. Write this down. I'm going to wait. Right here. We'll be here at 2 o'clock. Get a pencil out of the thing. Get a pencil out of the thing in front of you and write this down if you don't have it. Man, this is how I do my class at work. Sorry, I forgot. Write this down, everybody. Ready? Psalm 101:3. I want to encourage you to memorize this one. Put it on your computer screen at home. Keep it somewhere close to your cell phone. This is what it says. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. Now, that's strong, isn't it? That's strong, man. Listen. If the shoe fits, repent. Here it is again. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. Can I get an amen? Amen. I don't want to talk about what's on my heart right now. I might offend somebody, but it might hurt your feelings. I don't know. Should I? What do you think, Devin? All right, I'm going to go ahead and hurt your feelings. Maybe this is the Lord, not me, right? Stop watching Yellowstone. That's what the Lord says, not me. Maybe it gets you deep. I don't know. Verse 28 through 31. The demons began to scream out to Jesus, going to ask him, you know, are you going to torment us before our time? Are you going to punish us before God's going to punish us? And they were in the Gentile region, remember? So there was pigs everywhere. Jesus threw the demons and the pigs, cast them out with one word, go. And they went. So they went back to town, shared it, talked about it. And I don't know why, but they come back and they didn't want Jesus coming back anymore. I don't know why. Maybe I think because he destroyed all their pigs and that was their money, right? I don't know. Whatever the reason, Jesus never returned. Now, I'm going to say something. Listen to me very carefully, please. Everybody look at me. I do not believe the Bible teaches that a born-again Christian can be demon-possessed. Okay? If you're saved and you're born again, you're washed in the blood of Jesus, adopted in the family of God, you cannot be possessed by a demon. Let that sink in. Do not be worried about that. Don't let that worry you. Don't let that fear get on you. Don't listen to any of those lies. Everybody got that one? However, we can be influenced by evil forces that work through wicked people. A few more minutes and we'll close. However, we as Christians, followers of Christ, we can be influenced by wicked people. Most of the time, in my experiences, in working with psychiatric patients, with working with people who have opened up their soul to demonic activity through terrible drugs that you don't even know is even out there. Trust me. Most of the time, this activity is not demons. And it's not the devil. Is the devil right over there? No, he's not. Is the devil back there? No, he's not. The devil is not omnipresent. like God. God is everywhere. The devil cannot be but only one place at a time. And he's sure not right over here. If I had to guess, he's over there in Europe or Middle East trying to manipulate the Antichrist to get in a certain place like a chess player so that he can bring in the end of times as he thinks. There's not a demon around every corner. Does everybody hear me? 1 Peter 5:8. I'm going to take a little time right here. I know I'm going a little long, but that's all right. God, we really need this. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Now let's break that scripture down real quickly. Remember Flip Wilson? What'd he say? "The devil made me do it." Guys, the devil gets way too much credit for things out there that's going on. Way too much, especially from religious people who rarely study the Bible and don't really know what they're talking about. "Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil," okay, 1 Peter 5:8. So when you look up the Greek word for that word devil right there, it does not say Satan or Lucifer. That's not who it's talking about. But if you just read across the scripture and not study it, you can get sort of confused. But if you do study it, you'll get more clarity. If you look up in the Greek, that word devil, what it means is a man or woman, a man acting on behalf of the devil. In other words, it's wicked people that are trying to woo you into wrongness or wickedness or sin. Everybody got it? It's wicked people operating from the lustful desires of their flesh, trying to get you. He's working on behalf of the devil. That's what that really means. Then it says, and he prowls around like a roaring lion. If you study lions, I looked this up. I heard it one time. I looked it up. If you study lions in Africa and where they're at, okay, the lioness, the female lion, they're really the hunters, and they're quiet, and they'll roar every once in a while, but they're mainly quiet, and they're going for the kill. The old big lion, you know, the big old hare and the big lion, most of them end up, right, they're lazy. They are. You go study them. And they're waiting on the lioness to go kill something most of the time. Sometimes they'll kill something. Most of the time they're just lazy, king of the jungle, and they'll end up toothless. They'll end up with no teeth. And what they do, these old lions, they're the ones that really roar. Roar! You know? Sorry for my special effects. They're the ones that really roar and make noise. You know why? Because they watch other killer animals. Could be a hyena or anything. They'll make the kill, and that lion will have that. And once it makes the kill, that lion will creep up close to that other animal that made the kill and do what? Roar! Trying to what? Trying to scare away that other hyena, whatever. Trying to scare them away because they have no teeth. They have no bite. You're getting the metaphor here? And they finally make enough noise, enough intimidation, enough scare tactic, so they'll run away because they're afraid. And they'll run away. And then the old lion goes up there and with no toothies, right? And he goes to kind of getting what he can get. I started thinking about that, so I started studying a little bit more, and it says the lion looking for someone to devour. So I looked up, what does that word devour mean, really? And I was like, wow, I looked that up this week. This word devour in the Greek, it means this, to drink down, to gulp. Ah. other words, this old big old loudmouth lion don't even have anything. He's just there just to just get whatever he can and just swallow it down like a dog eating a biscuit. Come on now. Are y'all getting the point on this? We have victory in Jesus. Jesus, who is everything, he died on a cross. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Jesus' foot on his neck has no more power over you. Most of the time, it's the result of our own lustful desires of our flesh. This is how we get in trouble most of the time. It reminds me of the doo-doo verses. That's what I call it. The doo-doo verses. In Paul, in Romans 7, right? When Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do. I got you, didn't I? I do the things I don't want to do, but I keep doing them, even though I don't want to do them, but I do them anyway. What does Paul say? It's in Romans chapter 7. Paul says this. He says, it is not I who does this, but it's the sin within me. And that sin within him, that's the lustful desires of our flesh. Most of the time, I don't want to put a statistic on it, but or percentages, but most of the time we get in our own mess because of our own mess. It's not the devil or demon. Sometimes it is, you know, but most of the time it's because of our own lustful desires of our flesh. So are you struggling today? Are you struggling with your language? You try not to cuss anymore? Are you struggling with your cell phone? Are you struggling with your computer, your TV? Are you struggling with your behavior and how you're acting towards your family or your friends or your neighbors? Whatever thing is going on, whatever wickedness may be influencing your life, you can ask Jesus to remove that thing from you, to remove those people from you. And you can do it in one word. Go. Be gone and leave them. So I pray for all you guys in here this morning, including myself, my wife, all of us. If we're struggling with something, in Jesus' name, be gone. Be away. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us grace and mercy and tenderness. Thank you for your fruit that you try to bear in our lives. Lord, right now I pray if there's one here that's struggling, they can come down to this altar and pray and give it over to you. Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, during this song, they can come down. I'll be glad to pray with them. In Jesus' name, amen.